I want to preach on not just remembering Lot's wife, because remember, that was Jesus who gave us that commandment to never, ever forget Lot's wife, a woman in Scripture that Jesus himself said, you should never forget about this woman and what happened to her and her family because she looked back. But I want to talk about another thought. Don't just remember Lot's wife, but I want to add to that this morning. Remember Lot's great-granddaughter. That's the name of this message. Remember Lot's great-granddaughter. To understand what Jesus was referring to when he said, remember Lot's wife, you have to go back in time and remember that Abraham was called out and his nephew Lot journeyed with him. And God began to bless Abraham, and he had so many flocks that he gave some to his nephew, and his flocks increased. And then there were so many animals and so many shepherds on both sides of the family that arguments began to break out. They began to fight over grass and fight over grazing rights and fight over water holes. And finally, Abraham, a peacemaker in the family, because every family has fights, every family has squabbles, and there have to be peacemakers in every home. There has to be somebody who stands up and says, wait a minute, we're family. This is crazy to let this come, grass and material things come between family and loving one another. So he said, here's what I propose, Lot. This is the older speaking to the younger, his nephew. He said, you take your flocks and your shepherds and you choose. And if you go north, I'll go south. If you go to the well, beautiful green pastures, because one of the territories was beautiful and well watered, had everything you can imagine. It was in the direction of five major cities, two of them being Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, if you go in that direction, it'll be the easy path. It looks green and beautiful. It looks nice. And you won't have to work much. There'll be plenty of grass for your animals to graze and drink water. And that is exactly what Lot did. He chose that path, and it left Abraham with rocks and desert and mountains. And yet God prospered and blessed him, because he said, blessed are the peacemakers, especially in family issues. Blessed is the person who brings peace back to a troubled family. So Lot became and began to move in a direction that was to eventually become the worst decision that he would ever make in his life, even though on the surface it looked good. It brought short-term, quick rewards, but it was the worst decision that he could have ever made for his own life, and particularly for his family. And I'm going to show you real quick why. I want to say this, if I've got a first point, this is it. Wisdom dictates life choices need to be made with eternity in mind. When you're making major life choices concerning you and your family, you better do them not with what's best concerning financial rewards only. You don't make those decisions based upon what you can see in the natural only. You don't make those decisions on what will give you the fast payback rewards instantly necessarily. But you have to always filter major decisions concerning your family through this question: is this the will of God? And how will this affect me and my family for eternity? And that was the question that Lot failed to ask. It looked good. It felt good. It was financially rewarding. It would cause him to have more than he had ever had. And just because it was there and it felt good, looked good, he didn't pray about it. He just moved, and he moved into the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said every night that he pitched his tent, he faced the cities of wickedness. And anytime your eyes begin to focus in a direction, anywhere your eyes will wander, your body will follow. It's a matter of time. And he began to move his family little by little by little from the fields and the outskirts into the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. And now they're living and they're marrying and they have taken on the lifestyles of a wicked, wicked place. But God is faithful, and God heard the prayers of Abraham for his family. And God sends two angels, and the angels come with a message to Lot in his house. And they say, God is going to destroy this city because of the vile wickedness that is taking place. The Bible said that the people were so wicked, the inhabitants of that city, the men of that city, that they wanted to take the angels when they saw them go into the house, and they wanted to abuse them. I want to say something that I think is important. I want to say that we are not to hate anyone. We're not to rail and attack and act like there's big sin and there's little sin, because we all need the grace of God. But I also want to say that standing for truth is not hate speech. And I also want to say today that what God's word teaches us is that we're to speak the truth in love. Did you know you can speak the truth, but if you don't speak it in love, then you're out of order and out of line with the word of God? And did you know, on the other hand, that you can love, but if you're not speaking the truth, you're out of line too? The Bible commands us to speak the truth in love. And they were in vile wickedness in the city, and the angel took Lot and his family by the hand, the scripture said, and led them out. They said in Genesis 19 and verse 17, the angel said to Lot and his family, escape for your life, neither look behind you. Escape to the mountains, lest you be consumed. Get out of this place and don't look back. And it's in that moment that, as they're on the outskirts of the city, almost out, that Lot's wife turns around. And when she turns around and she looks back, and what a stern warning this is, that when God brings you out, when God sets you free, when God delivers you, when God changes your life, and when He sets you in a new direction, don't look back, don't go back, don't turn back, don't dare ever even allow a fleeting glance of looking back and wanting and going, turning back. You never go back. And that's why Jesus Himself would bring this woman out in the New Testament centuries later in Luke chapter 17, when He said the simple words, remember Lot's wife. Don't ever forget the danger of looking back. Don't ever forget the danger of turning around when God brings you out. You would think if an angel delivered you that you would never look back, especially if He told you not to. But she did, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. And the story doesn't end there. Now it gets even more complex. And you know, you need to know the Bible, so just listen and let me teach you a little bit, because I'm going to get where I'm going real quick. But when that happened, when that mother was turned into a pillow of salt, the two daughters of Lot had a fear that their family lineage would be over. After all, every inhabitant of the city was destroyed. There were no more people, they thought, on the earth. And so, in desperation, they got their father drunk. And the Bible records one of the most horrible sins in Scripture. That night, there was sexual immorality between the daughters and the father, and the daughters became pregnant. And from that, according to Genesis 19 and 36, 9 months later, the first daughter bore a son and named him Moab, and the second daughter bore a son and named him Ammon. And so what you have are two tribes, the Moabite and Ammon tribes. And if you know anything about Scripture, you will see over and over and over, the Moabites and the Ammonites were the number one and two enemies of the Israeli people. They were continually fighting and attacking. And they were the grandchildren of Lot. So bad was this Moabite people that they offered their children to idol gods. One of the kings of Moab stood on a wall of a city and threw his baby off in sacrifice to a demon god. This was the history. This was the Moabite people. So bad was the curse that Isaiah spoke a curse over the Moabites, and Jeremiah spoke a curse. Four different Old Testament prophets, Ezekiel and Micah, all of them cursed the Moabites. They were a cursed family. When I say the Moabites, Lot's family, Lot's lineage was cursed by God. God even gave a commandment. He said, never is a Moabite to be allowed into the tabernacle or on the grounds where the tabernacle is. Though the people of the Moabites are forbidden and they're under a curse. And yet, when you turn to Matthew chapter 1, and actually I think I'd like for you to do it. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 1? Are you ready for this? Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez begot Hezron. And Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Amminadab. And Amminadab begot Nahashan. And Nahashan begot Solomon. And Solomon begot Boaz by Rahab. And Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, the king of Israel. Wait a minute, Ruth. You don't understand. When we're first introduced to Ruth, she has a book in the Bible named after her. But do you know when we're introduced to her, she's called Ruth the Moabite. She's Ruth the Moabite. And her story goes back to the book of Ruth. Go there with me real quick. Let me sum it up. This is so powerful because if you look in her past, if you look back at what her past was, you see sexual immorality, you see drunkenness, you see bad choices, you see wrong direction, you see curses, you see sin and pain and hurt and failure. You see it all. But if you turn and you jump into the book of Matthew chapter 1, which is the genealogy of Jesus, and a Moabite woman is right in the middle of it, and she's the great granddaughter of Lot. How did she get in the middle of the genealogy of Jesus Christ? There was a famine, and she was living in a place called Moab because she was of the tribe of Moab. And Naomi and her husband and her two sons were in a famine in Bethlehem, and they left Bethlehem and they went to Moab trying to get food. And when they got there, the son fell in love with a Moabite girl named Ruth and married her. And the famine killed the husbands, killed all the men. And now Ruth and Naomi, her mother-in-law, are widows. And Naomi turns to her young daughter-in-law and she says, I'm going back to Bethlehem where I came from, and I guess I'll just die there. You stay here. But she grabs her, and then comes that beautiful scripture in Ruth chapter 1 verse 16. Ruth looks at her and she says, entreat me not to leave you, nor from following after you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. And your people will be my people. And look, this is big. And your God will be my God. At that moment, a supernatural conversion takes place of a little girl who's in an awful family tree, who's in a tribe that has been cursed. She comes from immorality. She comes from incest. She comes from drunkenness. She comes from hurt and pain and abuse and everything you can imagine. But she says, your God will be my God. I'm going back with you to Bethlehem. And in that moment, there was a conversion. And when Ruth goes back and she's in the field in Bethlehem, maybe the same field where angels were singing, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. She's reaping the welfare that's left behind for poor people. And Boaz rides up, the owner of the field, and he says, hi, gorgeous, would you marry me? And now he's a Hebrew and she is a Moabitess, but they marry. And they have a son named Obed. And Obed has a son named Jesse. And Jesse has a son named David. And David becomes king of Israel and has a great, great grandson by the name of Jesus. And now suddenly, if you look back, this is what I want you to get. If you look backward in Ruth's life, you see Lot, you see sin, you see sexual immorality, You see a history rooted in idolatry. You see drunkenness. You see hurt and you see pain. But if you turn and look forward to Matthew chapter 1, she's in the genealogy and you see angels singing over the birth of a Savior that she had a major part in. You see a Savior on a cross dying for all mankind. And I've just come to tell you what Ruth would say to you today. Is she would say, no matter how bad your past is, your future is brighter than your past if you put Jesus in it. Oh, come on. We're going to take a praise break right there. I'm saying to you, it does not matter how bad your yesterday was, what kind of family you came from, what kind of history has gone on in your family. If you will quit looking backwards and turn forwards, there is a Savior named Jesus ahead of you that can take it all and turn it into His calling and His plan and His purpose and His ministry in your family. Everybody give God a praise for just a moment. I don't know what you have behind you. I don't know what bad choices you made yesterday. I don't know what regrets you have that you wish you could change. But your future can be better than your yesterday. So when you look back, there's Moab. But when you look forward, there's Jesus. And Ruth, you've got to decide. You can look back where you came from, and you will hear voices telling you why God can't use you, can't bless you, can't love you, and He certainly couldn't care about somebody like you that has sexual abuse and drunkenness and sexual immorality and idolatry and child sacrifice. My God, if you were to ask any honest Hebrew, do you think the Messiah is going to come through that family? There's not one that would have said, yeah, I can see the Messiah coming through that messed up family. But Ruth is preaching to you today. Ruth is saying your future is brighter than your past. Your tomorrows will be better than your yesterdays. And I want us just to praise God if you know that you've been freed from your yesterdays by a Savior that is in your present right now. I'm enjoying my own preaching right now, because the enemy wants you to give up on your family. The enemy wants you to think that where you came from is the track that you're on and it can never change. But look at Ruth. Remember Lot's great-granddaughter. Yes, we should remember Lot's wife as a warning. But we should remember Lot's great-granddaughter as an encouragement. No matter how messed up your family has been, God can turn it and put His grace on it and bless you, and you can be a major part of His purpose in the earth today. I'm saying to you today, and see, that was the whole introduction, and now this is the sermon, and I'm done. But I'm saying to you today, remember Lot's great-granddaughter. Looking back, there was sin. But looking forward in her life, there was redemption. Looking back, there were curses. But looking forward, there were blessings. Looking back, there was judgment. But looking forward, there was mercy. Looking back, there were regrets. But looking forward, there was purpose. Looking back, there was Lot. But looking forward, there was Jesus. And many of you may have the enemy always wanting you to live life looking in the rearview mirror at the corruption and the wickedness of your past. But God has sent me to tell you that your yesterdays do not make you unworthy of being a part of the plan of God today and tomorrow, because that's why Jesus came. And I don't care what's behind you, Ruth. There's a Savior in front of you. I know yesterday's can be ugly, but Jesus is ahead of you. And I'm talking to people right now that if you look back, there's divorce, there's generational curses, there's alcoholics for generations, drug addicts for generations, divorce for generations. And if you look back, the enemy would say, God can't do anything great in your life. But if you'll look forward, there's a Savior ahead of you. And He can turn the curse into a blessing. And He can stop all of the stuff that's happened in the past. And He can change a whole family in this room today. You may have family issues of which you're not very proud. You may have things in your past that haunt you. You may have some yesterdays that you regret and you wish you could have done over. The word of the Lord to you today is Jesus is not in your rearview mirror. If you'd get your eyes off that rearview mirror, you'd see an ornament on the hood of your car, and it's Jesus, and He's saying, I'm before you. Come on. Come on. I haven't changed my mind about using you. Lot may be behind you, Ruth, but Jesus is in front of you. The purpose in front of you is there in spite of what's behind you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Ruth had so much mess behind her, but the purpose of God was that she would bring a Savior to the world. The calling in front of you is greater than the mess behind you. The ministry in front of you is there in spite of what is behind you. The hope in front of you is there in spite of what is behind you. You, Ruth, can share Jesus. You, Ruth, who came from such a terrible background, you can share Jesus with a lost world. And when I think about people in this room, and I think about families, and I think about how the enemy would love to say, because of things that have happened back there, that God can't use your family. And some of you mothers have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and you brought some of those loved ones with you today. And the Lord told me to tell you, He told me that there would be Ruths here, and there would be men here, and there would be sons and daughters here. And the enemy wants you to live looking back at all of the curses and the pain and the hurt and the sin and the immorality. But Jesus is ahead of you. He has a great plan for you and for your family and for your life. Ruth tells you that God can still use you. In spite of your past, God can still use you. Remember Lot's great granddaughter.
Thank you so much for watching this program, and I don't believe that you've watched and heard this message by chance. I believe in Kingdom Connections. I believe in the power of God's Word to go through and touch a heart. And you're ready. Somebody's watching this program, and it's time to make a change. Pray this prayer. Tell you, it all begins with your faith to say, Lord, I can't change me. Change me by your power. So pray this prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, I need a change in my life. I need a turnaround. And I surrender my life to you today. I believe you shed your blood and rose from the dead. Just say those words. I believe you shed your blood and rose from the dead so that I could have a new life, a new birth. And I receive that now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.